church. Good to be back with you all again this morning. Praise the Lord. You know, I told them here a couple of Wednesdays ago, whenever the early church, whenever they would meet up with another Christian back in the time, they would say, "He is risen." And if that person was a Christian that they met up with, they said, "He is risen indeed." He is risen. Absolutely. He is risen indeed. Praise his name this morning for that. You know, I am thankful for, by the way, today is Pentecost Sunday. By the way, this is whenever the Holy Spirit fell without limit on the church, on the early church back then. And praise God, you know, he's still here with us today. He's still amongst his people. He's still amongst his church. And I praise him for that here this morning. Amen. I'm going to be over in Exodus chapter 17, if you want to turn there. There's a story about a man by the name of Pete. They called him Desert Pete, by the way. Anyway, this story had been out there for a while. It's just a story talking about this. But anyway, it says he had gotten lost in the desert. And whenever he started wandering around trying to find his way out of the desert. And, of course, he only had just a limited amount of water. And he got to the point where he drank all that water. And he was still looking, trying to find a way to get through this, get out of it. And, of course, it was hot and dry at the time. But anyway, he was getting thirsty. Matter of fact, he's getting delusional a little bit. But anyway, he walked up to the top of a knoll, and there was he's seen this little shack in the distance, and he thought, "Well, is this real, or am I just, you know?" But anyway, he walked towards it, and finally, he got to this little shack, and it was a little old ranshack little place that had been just deleted years. But he goes towards it, and there's no one there. Of course, there's nothing there, but he goes in hoping to find something that could help him get through on this. But just outside the back door of this little shack was a hand pump. And so he goes out there to it, and he's just pumping away. Of course, anybody knows you can pump away on a hand pump unless you've got, he couldn't get nothing out of it. Couldn't get a thing out of it. Well, just about that time, he looks down, and there's a bottle of water there with a cork in it that has a note on the cork. It says, "Use this water to prime the pump." And so he looks at it, but Greg, you know what he's thinking? Should I not drink this? Is that note right? This pump's so old. Should I not just drink that water? And on the bottom of the note said, "Don't forget to fill the bottle back up." So he's sitting there. He's got a dilemma. He's got this dilemma. He's thinking about if he drinks the water, he's guaranteed temporary survival. And the water goes down that old rusty pump. If he pours it down there and that water goes, he has no hope, none whatsoever. It could be wasted. He could die of thirst. Or it could bring out an abundance of water. It could do that. Now let me ask you this morning, if you was faced with that same situation, what would you do? I'm just laying it out there to you today. What would you do? That's the situation I want to present to you, everybody here this morning. That's the situation I want to present to you with the scriptures I'm about to read. Do you believe the word or not? Right? Sometimes we suffer from what I call Christian amnesia. We suffer from that a lot of times. We do as Christians. Because you know why? Because God has answered our prayers. He's taken care of us. But there are times, are we willing to prime the pump, or do we just think for this temporary stuff right now? Anyway, if you are, we're going to be over in Exodus chapter 17. I'm going to read the 6th and the 7th verse. Julie's going to pull it up there for us, I believe. If you would, stand, if you're able. "Behold, I will stand before thee upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, and that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, because they tempted the Lord, saying, 'Is the Lord among us or not?'" I want to ask you something this morning. This is just personal. This is for you. Do you believe God's word? And is the Lord among you or not? That's something I can't answer for you. Nobody in this church can. But you know that in your heart this morning. Let's pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come, Father, with nothing but thanksgiving in my heart. Lord, I want to praise you for the opportunity we have to be here. And Father, we just love you. We praise you. For Father, you are so good to us, and we know that. And Lord, I want to give you the glory and the honor that you so rightly deserve. I pray that you would open the hearts here this morning, Lord. I pray that you would open my mouth, Lord, and that the Spirit of God would anoint me this morning, Lord. And Father, the word would go out the way that you would have it. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. And you may be seated. Thank you. Thank you. You see, we find God's people in the wilderness. They're out of water, running out of options. They're doubting that God could meet their needs. Anybody ever been there? Huh? They're doubting God and crying out to Moses, saying and asking him to cry out to God. How are we going to get our needs met? How is God going to come through? We should have stayed in Egypt. Of course, we've heard this before. We should have stayed in Egypt, is what they thought. But you brought us out here. Now we're in the middle of nowhere and we're in a dry season. Has anybody ever been in a dry season? I've been there. I'm talking about spiritual. We've all been there. Well, they were in a dry season. Here's something I want us to see this morning. When God is about to do a work in your life, when He's about to do, God can take nothing and make something out of it. Julie, you can go to the next slide, by the way, if you want to. And in other words, God can take something small or insignificant in our eyes and make everything that you could possibly need out of it. This right here is what they tell me is the original rock that Moses struck. This is what a lot of experts say is the original rock. You can see it there. And the thing that I always find interesting from the nation of Israel, and quite frankly, from myself from time to time, is the lack of memory as to how God has worked in my life in the past sometimes. You know, I'm faced with a new obstacle today, but I totally forget sometimes, Greg, what He's done for me back then. You know, sometimes we do that. That is amnesia. that affected their lives. They were, at the time, you know, and in our walk with God sometimes we can have that. As for the nation of Israel, it had only been 6 weeks. Now understand this. Since God has split the Red Sea and walls of water upon both sides of them, and they walked through on dry land. A month and a half. And this is how soon that they had forgot. Now, in a month and a half earlier, they had witnessed one of the greatest miracles ever recorded in the Bible. And somehow they forgot that the same God that did that, brought them through the waters of that, could supply water for them today. A God that loved them and cared for them so much that He set a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night to lead them. God did that. A God that the same people that somehow that forgot that God had supplied them with manna from heaven. Now think about this. A month and a half time frame, God did all of this. He supplied manna from heaven for them to eat. He even allowed them to have quail in the evening for them to eat in this same 6 week period. Now here they are in the middle of a dry season like we go through sometimes. We do it, all of us, and yet they forgot how God abundantly and miraculously supplied every need that they had. This is a God who had done nothing but meet the needs of His people and has never failed and has never let them down. And if you are honest here this morning, you could give God a big amen, because you know what? He has done that for every one of us. Let's give Him a hand clap here this morning. That's the kind of God that we serve. Are we honest about that this morning? Now, amnesia had set in again in their middle of the desert and thirsty and in need again. And you would think they would have enough muscle memory to pull back what God had just done just a few weeks ago, within this last few weeks. And when they were scared and overwhelmed, God delivered. Ever been a time in your life when you've been scared and overwhelmed, but God had delivered? Amen? When they were hungry, God supplied. Every time they needed something, God delivered. They never went without anything. Not even the soles of their sandals wore out in 40 years in the desert. I got shoes down there that wear out a lot faster than that. Don't tell me that God isn't able to do above and beyond and do what He says that He will do. But here they are in a dry season and they're in a difficult moment. I know there are people here that are in difficult moments, in dry seasons. And guess what? They forgot what God had done. And may I be as bold to say, are we not like that in our lives sometime here this morning? When we go through hard times and dry seasons in our Christian walk, we sometimes fail to remember just how good God was to us. I'm telling you, we forget that sometimes from time to time. We do. We are so quick to forget all the times that God showed up. All the times that God was in our corner. All those times. You know what? And all the times God made a way when there seemed not to be a way. I could, if I stood up here and told you all the times that God made a way for me and my family when there seemed to be not one way out, I could be up here the rest of this service preaching to you and telling to you about the goodness of God. And He is good. Listen, here in this morning text, we find God's people complaining about God's provision, about God's protection, and about God's presence. And all three things they were complaining about, God had already done in their lives. All three of them. God was their provider. I can tell you right now, no matter what you think, God is your provider here this morning. You may think, I did this on my own. No, you didn't. God is your provider. God is your protector. You don't know how many times God has delivered you from something that you didn't know was about to happen, but He delivered you from that. God is your protector. God is presence with us. He is present with us from the time from the time they crossed the Red Sea until that very point. God's presence was with those people. And can I tell you something, child of God, this morning? God is present with you this morning as well. He walks with you. You may not think He walks with you. He goes with you. And there are times you can feel the Spirit with you, and there's times you can't. And when you can't, He's still present with you. Because that's the kind of God we serve. That's times we got to walk by faith sometimes. And then it is the same thing God wants to do for His people today. Can I have an amen? He's our provider. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. By who? By Christ Jesus. He's our protector. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And God is present with us. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? He is presence with you. And here are God's people complaining, again, in the middle of the desert, that there's no water to drink, suffering from a bad case of spiritual amnesia, and the people start quarreling and grumbling with Moses to the point that Moses, do you see anywhere in the Scripture where the Israelites went to God for themselves? They didn't. Know what they did? They wanted to gripe and complain to somebody else where they could have went to God for their needs and for their things, but they didn't do it. But you know what Moses did? He didn't gripe. He went to God. And he got on his knees and he cried out to the Lord, what am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me. How soon they forget and how soon we forget. They were in the wilderness without water. Maybe that's where you're at this morning. Spiritual water. Maybe you're there this morning. Maybe you haven't felt the presence of God for a while. But can I tell you something? Let me give you hope this morning. His presence is still with you. He's still your protector, and He still loves you this morning. He wants nothing more but for you to feel His presence in your life. Not physically, but spiritually this morning. Maybe something happened or has happened in your life. Some type of obstacle that was out of your control. You're facing something you didn't ask for. You're facing something you did not ask for. It fell on you, and maybe it has sucked the life out of you right now. Maybe you can see that here this morning. You feel like you're walking around in a spiritual desert and you're parched. Can I tell you, He's able to meet your need. But you've got to be able to drink from the right well. Amen? You have no joy. You have no happiness right now. Can I offer you some hope? The people that were longing for water in the desert, and anyone feeling the way that I just described, here's the cure for your thirst. For I do not want you to be ignorant of, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, and they were all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea, and they all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. For that drink, for the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was who? Was Jesus. You see that up there? That's a symbol of the one that we serve today. Amen? That right there, that rock that we're talking about, that is Jesus Christ. The one, you know what? You know what? If you were with a longing, with a thirst to know God more fully, you can have that this morning. God told the prophet Jeremiah to tell his people this, and ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Here's my advice to you, anybody there this morning. Here's my advice. If you're thirsting for more of God, put your cup up to the spiritual faucet and drink. He's offered it to you. It's not something that He's keeping just for special people. He's offering it to everybody in here this morning. Put your cup up to the spiritual faucet and drink all that you can drink. Your cup runneth over. Amen. If you're walking in a dry season, Jesus longs to fill your cup. He longs to run it over. Jesus can meet the need. He can revitalize you. One touch of the Holy Spirit and the way of refueling and refreshing you. Amen. Been there, done that. Felt the Holy Spirit refresh and renew. The longer that I've pastored, the more that I've come to realize you can have all the money in the world and still be thirsty. You can have all the success in the world and you can still be thirsty. You can be as popular as anybody out here and you can still be thirsting for something more. I've seen, you can have everything that the world tells you that you need to be happy, and you can still be thirsty and longing for something more that you're lacking in your heart. And there is nothing worse than a thirsty soul. Can I say that here this morning? There's nothing worse than a thirsty soul. And when people try to quench that thirst with what the world has to offer, it only leaves them thirstier. It only leaves them thirstier for something. Folks, in the physical bodies, there's only one thing that will quench a thirst. It's not pop. It's not orange juice. It's not beer. There is only one thing that will satisfy a deep thirst. That's a tall, cold glass of water. Amen? That glass. So in the spiritual, that's why Jesus said He is the living water. He said, and Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth, as the scripture saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. He's saying you can try and drink from every well that has ever been offered, and it still won't satisfy. It still won't. Drinking from the water He has to offer will. He told the Samaritan woman at the well. Remember the story there? Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. And he of whom thou hast is not thy husband. This saidest thou truly. He was looking at her text messages, at her emails, at her tweets. He knew everything about her. It didn't say she was divorced five times. It said she had five husbands. That's what it's talking about. They say that she was divorced. I don't know, but it didn't say that. But the thing is, he knew everything about her. And he laid it out unto her, what you had been doing isn't working. Why? Because she was trying to get her satisfaction from the wrong well. Jesus told her, you take and drink from what I'm offering, and you'll never thirst again. And out of your bellies will flow rivers, not just little squirts, rivers of living water. She was drinking, but it never quite satisfied her. You see, the devil likes nothing better than for you to go back to the same old wells over and over again. That's what he wants you to do. Understand that here this morning. Understand, he wants you to go back to the same well that you thought would satisfy you over and over again. And that's what she was doing. But Jesus tells her, let me give you a drink of something that will work forever. In John 4:14, and whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him as a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. Amen. You do know not everything that you drink is good for you, right? I wrote this story down because I remember this as a kid. Me and my buddies would go, we didn't have cell phones. We didn't have computers. We didn't have anything except three channels, and we had to go untangle them. But anyway, we in the summertime, Mom wanted us outside, and we were running the woods. That's what we did. We run through the woods, swung from grapevines. We did all the stuff we did that. When we were out there, we'd get thirsty. And of course, we were dumb. We weren't smart enough to take any bottles or get any water and take with us. So there'd be a little stream out there. You know, that stream be running down through there, but anyway, you know what we'd do? We'd dig out and we'd get there and drink of it. We didn't care if it had parasites. We didn't care if it had bacteria in it. We didn't care what animals had drunk out of it. We were thirsty, and we wanted our thirst quenched. You know if you're thirsty enough, you'll drink anything, right? And that's what we were. We were thirsty. So, you know, I tell you, we didn't care about that stuff. Not knowing how good or bad it was. Like I said, sometimes what you drink isn't good for you. So you have to be careful because of what you drink. It infects the inside. And what you drink, whenever it affects the inside, can also affect the outside. Right? It can do that. Can you listen? And folks, the same scenario applies to our spiritual walk. If you're drinking the wrong stuff, it'll end up affecting you all over sometime. In James 1:14 and 15, it says this, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished, what's it do? It bringeth forth death. Not everything that you drink is good for you. Not everything that you drink is good for you. Not a thing. And it doesn't mean that you should. But in Christ, the water he offered is not only good, it is very good to drink this morning. Everything that he gives you is very good. That's why I thank God for the well that never runs dry. Amen? It's better than Fiji water. It's better than Deer Park. It's better than Perrier, sparkling natural water. It's better than all that. Because why? Because that water that Jesus gives us is pure, it's good, it meets my need, and it never runs dry. Amen. I'm thankful I get a drink of God's grace. I'm thankful this morning that I get a drink of His forgiveness, and I'm thankful that I get the drink of His mercy. I am thankful for that. I'm thankful that I don't have to run to the wells of the world to get satisfaction anymore. Are you thirsty here this morning? Are you thirsty here this morning? Listen to me. Listen. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. That's the God that we serve. Like the people that came out of Egypt, we have a generation and a nation who are thinking, who are thirsting for something. Now, you may be here this morning thirsting for something in your life, and you don't know what it is. You don't know what it is. Listen, anybody that has been out in this world long enough that maybe is a Christian now will tell you, I had the longing for something, and I didn't know what it was.
It was something that I could not quite get a fulfillment of, whatever it was. But praise God, after they got saved, they come to realize what that longing was. Because, you know, I'm going to tell you something. Whether you know it or not, when you were born, God put a longing in you. That longing was to find Him eventually. And instead of calling on God like they like to complain about their situation to everybody out here in the world, they think every politician can handle it, every politician can take care of it. Listen to me. Don't put your trust in wells that are going to go dry. They think they have the answer. Listen, but there's only one who can give a peace that transcends all understanding. There's only one, and that's Jesus. And I believe this is a picture of life without Christ. Without Christ, a life can be dry. Oh, you may think you're having it, but there is joy in sin for a season. Oh yeah, you can be desperate, searching for something to fill the void. 2 Timothy 3:7 says this, describing the state of spiritual emptiness, where someone is always seeking fulfillment in their lives by learning new things all the time, but listen, but missing the truth. For learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Or remember 1 Corinthians 10:4, and drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank from that spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. That rock was Christ. And I'm going to finish up reading that same verse that I read there, up there. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people and take thee of the elders of Israel thy rod, and smotest the river, and take in thy hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee upon the rock of Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock. Remember, Paul tells us that that rock was Christ. And there shall come water out of it that the people may drink. He didn't tell them to dig a well. He didn't tell them to go find a body of water. He said, you go smite that rock. That rock watered millions of people back then, because that's how many people were walking around in the desert. And it watered their livestock. Can I tell you something today? That rock that is Jesus is still satisfying souls today. Still able to save. Still able to draw you in and keep you. And that rock satisfies countless millions today. It still does. Satisfies my soul. Can I ask you, are you satisfied this morning? Are you satisfied this morning? Because if you're not, Belinda's going to come up here and get a song now if she don't care. Because if you're not, I'm telling you, that water's still flowing today. And brothers and sisters, it's available. It's available to anyone that wants it this morning. If you would please stand as we get a song.